Good morning and welcome to another broadcast of Diaconia, a call to service. My name is Deacon Richard Hudzik, and among those joining me today is Deacon David Brensick. The segment is brought to you through the courtesy of the Archdiocese of Chicago, which has given this opportunity to the Office of the Diaconate, and it enables us to discuss the call to service, something uniquely or particularly of interest, I should say, to deacons. And the hope is that by discussing the call to service that the deacons engage in, we want to encourage and challenge everybody who is listening to engage in the same response to the gospel that the deacons hear. So it's not a show about deacons, but it's a show by deacons in order to encourage and enliven the faith. We call the show Diaconia, a call to service. But before we go any further, as has been our custom, I want to ask Deacon Dave to bring us to a start with a prayer and to dedicate ourselves and the show to the Blessed Mother.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Mary, teacher of charity, by your total openness to God's call, you cooperated in bringing to birth all of the Church's faithful. Make the call to holiness of us all be fruitful by teaching us to give ourselves to the service of the people of God.
Amen. Amen. And that bit of a prayer comes from the Diaconate's National Directory, a document that the U.S. bishops have issued to guide our life and formation as deacons. And it escapes my memory. I have a very short-term memory. It's like 4 seconds. If I didn't say Happy Feast of St. Francis, I didn't say it. They're shaking their heads at me. Today is October 4, the Feast of St. Francis of Assisi, so let us rejoice in his good news. Again, my name is Richard Hudzik. I have the privilege of serving as vicar for deacons for the Archdiocese of Chicago. I was ordained in 1998, and my parish assignment is at Divine Providence in Westchester. And David, who are you and why are you here, as I like to ask?
I'm Deacon Dave Brensick. I'm the Associate Director of the Diaconate Office. I live in Brookfield, and I am deacon at St. Louise de Marillac in LaGrange Park.
Okay. And that's for both of us, we can say that we're currently assigned to a parish known as, because both of us were in the latest round of groupings for Renew My Church, and so both of us will be coordinating with a neighboring parish in the days to come, beginning July 1, 2019. So that's where we are right now. That's what we call ourselves. We have with us today two guests, one of whom I am looking at. He's smiling back at me, and that's Deacon Pablo Perez. And on the phone, I am hoping we will hear the dulcet tones of Deacon Bill Gibbons. Bill, are you there?
Yeah, good morning, Dick.
Good morning. Okay, and I'm going to go back to Pablo. Tell us who you are and why on earth we asked you here, or don't you know yet?
I'm still trying to wonder why you call me here.
Okay,
for.
Okay.
Deacon Pablo Perez, I'm currently assigned to Colby House Jail Ministry. That's my official assignment. But I also deacon at St. Bede the Venerable on the south side by Midway.
Okay. And Bill, you're phoning in from parts unknown. What's your connection to the topic today, which is a big reveal here, is jail ministry?
Yeah, my current official assignment, as Pablo touched on his, I'm assigned to St. Pat's up in Wadsworth, near the Wisconsin border, near Canada. And I got involved with the Lake County Jail Ministry back in 2002, okay. Only to find out later that it was actually part of Colby House.
Yeah, well, it's surprise. And Dave, I wanted to spend just a few seconds on this word diaconia as context for what we're about here. Where does that word come from? What's it mean, and why do we use it?
Well, diaconia is a Greek word for service. It has its roots from the Acts of the Apostles, where the needs of the Greek widows and orphans wasn't being met, and they came to the apostles seeking help. So the apostles appointed, you know, 7 holy men to be deacons, to be servants, to tend to the needs of the widows and the orphans, to those on the margins in that community. Okay. And that service, you know, continues today. The deacon serves in the liturgy as minister of the word, a teacher, a guide, minister of charity. And in all these things, the deacon is seen as strives to be the icon of Christ, the servant.
Okay. All right. Thank you for that. And so it's that dimension of the deacon as icon of Christ, the servant, that we want to discuss in particular with Deacon Pablo and Deacon Bill. Now, both of you are married men, permanent deacons. Have I got that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Bill?
Yes, Richard.
Okay. So we're gonna talk about prison ministry or jail ministry, the Archdiocese's Colby House, and most importantly, why anybody listening to us should be interested. Why this is a matter of concern? I don't know anybody in prison. Why is this of interest to the church? So that's where we want to end up. So if we could just maybe orient our conversation around that sort of idea, is we're talking to the people who are listening to us. Bill, what is your ministry with regard to the Lake County jail system?
You asked really good questions, Richard, and I wanted to go there eventually. But I mean, technically, what I coordinate at Lake County up in Waukegan is Eucharistic services. We have a small band of deacons who are chaplains that go in and have more personal conversations with inmates. And then also with the cooperation of Sheriff Curran, they're really good partners up there in Lake County. I can get priests in there for a sacrament of reconciliation on pretty short notice. So those are logistic things. But we go in and one of my former mentors would say, the only thing you bring in there is yourself, right? And that's what's special about this. But, you know, to your question about, why would the laity care about this, is just as in any other aspect of society where you're working with folks who are marginalized, you know, that the least of these, you don't know who it is behind that butcher counter or the shop that you go into if, in fact, they were ever incarcerated. I guarantee you, you've got people in every single parish who we might have seen in jail once or twice, but they're just hidden among you. And there's specific social issues that the laity can be informed on and be advocates for these folks when the time comes up.
Okay. All right. Thank you for that. And Pablo, we've used the phrase Colby House a couple of times. What is Colby House and how does it fit into this jail ministry?
Yeah, Colby House, the history of Colby House has been for 35 years when Father Larry Craig founded the jail ministry, the official office of the Archdiocese of Chicago, and we use St. Maximilian Colby as our patron saint because Maximilian Colby, he was incarcerated himself. He was a priest, but he was incarcerated, and he gave his life for a family member. So that's why Father Larry Craig decided to put it Colby. But then when he went to Cardinal Bernardine, I believe he said to put Colby House, so it could have some sense of a welcoming coming into a house.
Is there a house?
Yes and no.
Okay. Yes, tell me.
Yes. It's a house because they could come here and be able to talk with us. And when I say they, the man or woman coming out of prison or the family members of the incarcerated.
Okay. And we're going to pick that up when we come back from this break. Thank you.
Great. Thanks.
Have you checked out Chicago Catholic lately? Either in print or online, Chicago Catholic has informative and stimulating content, including news from the Archdiocese, beautiful photographs, and a thoughtful column by our publisher, Cardinal Blaise Supich. Editor Joyce DeRiga tells us about our current edition of Chicago Catholic.
We have coverage of the bishop's ordination, including photographs that walk you through highlights from Holy Name Cathedral. We have a preview of the upcoming Renew My Church Summit and its focus on evangelizing outside our church communities. And Cardinal Supich stresses the need for church leadership to do all it can to protect young people from abuse.
Subscribe now. Go to ChicagoCatholic.com or call 312-534-7777. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Chicago Catholic, a fresh approach to Catholic news.
What does the gift of hope look like? It's an abandoned young woman with two young children searching for help. I'm Maggie at Catholic Charities Housing Services. As we worked with her, she blossomed before our eyes. She wrote a book, married, and often returned to say hello. You see, we believed in her, and she trusted us because, for us, this isn't just a job. It's a calling to be Chicago's Good Samaritan. Care to help? Visit CatholicCharities.net.
Welcome back to Diaconia, a call to service on WNDZ. This is brought to you through the good offices of the Archdiocese of Chicago, and this is the Office of the Diaconate. And we're talking today with Dave Brensick, our perennial co-host, Deacon Pablo Perez of Colby House Jail Ministry, and also on the line is Deacon Bill Gibbons, who works the jail ministry up in Lake County. We're getting into the conversation about what Colby House is. I asked, is it a house? And you gave me this evasive answer of maybe yes, maybe no, yes it is, and no it isn't. So what's the real story here?
Yes, many people think it is a house and a shelter home for men or women coming out of prison, but no, it's not. It's just our offices are based out of Assumption Church.
And where is that?
On 24th in California.
Okay, so you're walking distance From the jail?
From Cook County Jail, yes. Two blocks. Okay. Many times I walked there to do the ministry.
That's good for you. That's good for you.
Yes, it is.
And Bill, now you're up in Lake County. Where is that jail facility?
Yeah, Lake County Jail is in Waukegan on County Street, just south of Genesee Theater for the folks that know the area.
Is that that's the one you will serve at? Are there other penal institutions up in Lake County?
You've got some youth detention centers that also get served, but I don't coordinate that. So we've got folks from Vicariate 1 and 2 typically that come from all kinds of parts of Lake County and a little north of Cook County to serve at the jail.
Okay. And let me ask just a general question. What is the mission of Colby House or the mission of your efforts, Bill, up in Lake County? What's the purpose of this?
I mean, in a nutshell, it's bring Christ into that space. I mean, that's it. One pillar of that is like I said, bringing communion services in there. We've got a handful of priests, and it's a short list, but it's growing of who we can serve at Mass, celebrate Mass about once a month. We have services for men in English, men in Spanish, and we have volunteers that come in and serve to women. So that's really the main thrust of it, if anybody just glanced at it. But there's also service to the people who work there and protect and guard those that are in that space.
Now, what kind of service is that? Oh.
Well, I mean, I've had a number of sidebars with officers who work in the jail. It's not hard to imagine that working in that space can be quite different from going to an office every day. I mean, you're working with folks who just got caught up in a real bad situation. That's probably the lowest part of their life, and they're the only few souls that they see and work with. Or you've got folks who were they've got a career of crime, and it's a real blend of folks who are just seeing some of their darkest days. So they have an important impact on their lives, and being there to tend to their needs and whether they need to just dump their issues for the day and just be heard. I think it's an important aspect to bring into that space. So not just the incarcerated, but those who care for them.
Okay. All right. Well, that's encouraging. It's good to know that you have a broad spectrum, I guess you'd say, of approach. Pablo, you're shaking your head here. Who are you? Who do you see yourself serving through Colby House? Is it only the incarcerated?
No, it's everybody across the board. Like Bill says, we end up ministering to the officers, the detainees also, but their families, and the families of the officers sometimes too.
And how do you address, what are some of those issues that you're addressing with the families or with the families of the officers?
The issues that they have is the stressful job that they are in, and sometimes it's hard for them to go home and not take what they get and see on a daily basis, like Bill says, that it's hard job for them, and we gotta shepherd to them also too, and listen to them and pray with them too. Many times we get caught up praying with them, with the officers, and sometimes we contact their families too because they're struggling.
Now, what about the victims, the people who have suffered at the hands of folks whom you're serving? Do they picture it all in your work?
We always invite them and encourage them to come to Kobe House and do the mass that we do once a month, also every first Saturday of the month for the incarcerated, the family members, and the victims too.
And you're doing that at Assumption?
At Assumption, the first Saturday of the month at 5 p.m., and everybody's welcome to come and join us and be part of this mass too.
Do you feel you get much of a response from those who suffer at the hands?
Not many.
But you'd like more?
Yes, we get a couple families that come.
Now, I wanted to turn a corner a bit. We've used the word Kolbe House, and Pablo, you mentioned this is Maximilian Kolbe, who himself was incarcerated. And that was just, it was not your garden variety incarceration. He was in Auschwitz concentration camp.
Exactly.
And that marvelous story, and today is, you know, how appropriate we're talking about this martyr, this Franciscan priest on the feast of St. Francis. But he gave his life in exchange for one of the other prisoners. Looked it up yesterday. It was August 14, 1941 that he succumbed to execution by lethal injection. So just an amazing story, a grace-filled story that just reduces us to, really puts us on our knees, because how could you be so brave?
Mm-hmm.
I saw that the man that he saved lived to the age of 91. So he had many, many years after that terrible confinement in Auschwitz. We want to turn a little bit again. Here's another corner that we're turning. But we've mentioned this. It's becoming a habit for us, I think. But there's a reason for that. But what I'm getting to is that in December of 2015, Pope Francis inaugurated the Year of Mercy, and the focus of that was the corporal and spiritual works of mercy. And it seems like this conversation about the diaconate and this endeavoring to be an icon of Christ the servant inevitably leads us to talking about, in particular, the corporal and spiritual works of mercy. So, what do you say? Kolbe House is doing the corporal and spiritual works of mercy par excellence. Now, Dave, you've got your cheat sheet there, I know. Give us a quick run through on what those are until we get the hand signal from our producer as to when we're going to go to a break. But let's start and go forth boldly.
Well, the corporal works of mercy include to feed the hungry, to give water to the thirsty, to clothe the naked, shelter the homeless, visit the sick, to visit the imprisoned, and to bury the dead. Spiritual works of mercy include to instruct the ignorant, to counsel the doubtful, admonish the sinners, to bear patiently those who wrong us, to forgive offenses, to comfort the afflicted, and to pray for the living and the dead. And we certainly see this time and time again with Deacon Pablo and Deacon Bill and all the others who serve and minister to the people in the jail.
Right. You know, in fact, that one corporal work of mercy, visit the imprisoned. It's right on the money. So we're going to come back from a break, and then we will explicate and expatiate thereon. So hang on.
We invite you to watch Catholic Chicago this weekend, featuring a conversation with Cardinal Blaise Cupich and video highlights from across the Archdiocese. Here's host Todd Williamson.
We'll take you to a screening of a Holocaust denial film and the discussion that followed. We'll take you to a sunrise prayer service on Chicago's lakefront. And we'll show you how a Catholic elementary school found a unique way to ring in the new school year.
Watch Catholic Chicago Friday at 7 p.m. on Chicago Loop Cable, Channel 25, and Sunday afternoon at 3 on the Comcast Network, Channel 100. Here's an important message about Catholic schools from Cardinal Blaise Cupich and Loyola Ramblers Chaplain Sister Jean.
Sister Jean and I have something in common, a Catholic education, and we were both educated by the sisters.
It was the best education I could ever get, based on faith, values, and respect for people of all backgrounds.
Now the sisters are passing the baton on to us to make sure that all children have a chance at Catholic school education. A new tax credit scholarship program here in Illinois offers needs-based scholarships to non-public school students. But the scholarships need to be funded.
As you know, my scouting reports are quite good, and I can tell you that donors will get a 75% state tax credit. That's a win-win for you and for students who receive the gift of a Catholic education.
To find out how to donate, go to archchicago.org. Sister Jean and I thank you for supporting our Catholic schools.
Cardinal, that's a slam dunk.
Welcome back for our third piece of this morning's conversation, which is about the jail ministry, principally through Colby House Ministry, both in Cook and Lake Counties. We have Deacon Bill Gibbons calling in from the northern regions of our archdiocese, and in the studio is Deacon Pablo Perez, along with Deacon David Brensick. Just before the break, we quickly ran through the corporal and spiritual works of mercy, and not to belabor the point, but I am just amazed or really struck, maybe is a better word, by the how all seven of these seven spiritual works of mercy are something that's done at the jail ministry: to instruct the ignorant, to counsel the doubtful, admonish the sinners, patiently bear those who wrong us, to give offenses, to comfort the afflicted, and to pray for the living and the dead. That's what you're doing. Bill, Pablo, do you see anything different from what you're doing and what's set forth in those spiritual works of mercy?
No, Richard, I think it's dead on, and it cuts both ways. You know, as we will often reflect on when we talk, is that, you know, we walk out of a room very often, you know, served more than those who we think we're serving. You know, and especially instruct the ignorant. I've been instructed quite a few times in the jail. You know, it's learning about any human being and what they're going through can help you get through your own stuff, but then also it puts you in a position to help others when you run into the same situation. Mm. And there's lots of good lessons that you know, people have learned in the jail and in those lives, and there's opportunities to share that, you know, whether you're at the Jewel or just out in public at the office, wherever you work.
And one of the questions I want to ask both of you is that you know, it can be pretty grim, I dare say, inside the jail. Sorry stories and just as one of you mentioned here, people are just at their bottoms. It can't get too much worse. Is there, though, grace in those places? Is there something that's, and Bill, you alluded to this and what you've carried away yourself, but for the rest of us listening, is there grace there that will help me in my walk with the Lord? Is there grace that will lift us up as a people? Pablo, do you see anything? Is there anything good in the jail?
Oh, yeah, definitely. There's a lot of good in the jail. The Spirit of the Lord that moves in the church is moving in inside the jail, too, with all the men that are in there. When we minister to them, we see God's grace through them. As we, time and time, we meet with them individually or as a communion service that we do with them. But definitely we see God's grace how He has grace for each man or woman that are in there, regardless of how they got there. God's forgiveness is for each one of us, and we go and minister to them, but many times I think we end up getting ministered by them also.
So that sometimes, if maybe for me, I my confession, but that sometimes abstract notion of forgiveness, I'm 100% in favor of forgiveness, but walking into the jails, you see that really enfleshed, that comes alive in those sorts of places. Am I reading that right?
Exactly. And the only way to do it, Richard, is what Father Larry Craig told me before he passed away. When you minister to any of those men in there, you have to try to see the image of Christ in them.
Okay. Now, Bill and Pablo, I've visited a jail a few times, but likely I'm not going to be ministering in a jail. And for the rest of us listening, how do I participate in what you do? How do I encourage that, or participate? How do I help? Any thoughts for you?
The first thing I would mention and invite for the listeners, how you participate is by praying. Pray for the ministry, pray for the volunteers, and pray for all the victims also. That's one way of participating, in prayers and coming together with us on the masses also, and participating by trying to help and see what the needs of Kobe House is. Also, you could participate in many different ways for the jail ministry.
And Bill, what do you advise me or our listeners to do in order to support or to become knowledgeable about what you're doing?
And especially jail, because we talked about that a little bit offline, but if it'll loosen the lid a little bit on the jar of people, whether I should care or not, is a good 30-40% of the folks in jail did not do it. They didn't do the thing that they're in there for. Mm-hmm. They're acquitted. Mm-hmm. So if you want a little dose of hope, show up in the morning sometime and see somebody kind of skip their way out of the jail, promising themselves that they'll never be in there again. And I know truly that's the case. So hope for them and pray for them, like Pablo just said.
Okay. And before we run out of time here, Pablo, I know you're engaged in something very simple, but that's to collect stamps, postage stamps. How do we do that, and what's that for? We got a minute left, so talk fast.
A minute left. Stamps, Christmas cards we pass in Cook and Lake County Jail and at the juvenile center. We give it to the detainees so they could send it to their families. So we have about 7,000 Christmas cards right now. We need about 7,000 stamps. And how you could donate them is send them to Kobe House to my attention to Christmas Day cards.
And what's that address?
2434 South California Avenue in Chicago, Illinois, 60608.
What's that again?
2434 South California Avenue in Chicago, Illinois, 60608.
And you've also got a really snazzy webpage, and you can get to it through the Archdiocese of Chicago. That's the archchicago.org. You're a project, if you will, of the Department of Parish Vitality and Mission.
Somewhere like that.
Okay. So anyway, they know who they are, and we love them. So we're about to break off now. Bill and Pablo and David, thank you so much, and let us all join in our prayers for these men and women who are incarcerated, for the families, for the victims, and we pray for peace in our time.
Amen.
God bless.
God bless.
Join us every Monday through Friday at this time for Catholic Chicago. You can stream our programs live or listen to past programs by visiting our website, archchicago.org, and clicking on Radio TV. And please connect with Catholic Chicago on social media.